This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news is the Trump administration's announced it will block new downloads and updates of the popular video sharing app TikTok effective this Sunday, saying the Chinese-owned app creates unacceptable risks to national security. Secretary of Commerce Wilbur Ross saying things could change for U.S. users of TikTok if its ownership was to change under a deadline.
But the basic TikTok will stay intact until November 12th. If there's not a deal by November 12th under the provisions of the old order, then TikTok also would be, for all practical purposes, shut down.
The U.S. will also ban Chinese-owned messaging and payment app WeChat effective Sunday. Ross says the moves will combat malicious collection of American citizens' personal data by China. This is USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
A firefighter has died battling the El Dorado fire in California's San Bernardino National Forest. Officials reporting the firefighter missing late last night. His body was found a short time ago. The blaze has burned more than 19,000 acres, destroying at least four homes. It's believed to have started by a smoke-making firework being set off during a family's baby gender reveal party. Airlines are pleading for more coronavirus aid as the first CARES Act package is about to run out. Several company CEOs meeting with White House officials yesterday in hopes of avoiding massive job cuts. This morning, stocks have been slightly higher on Wall Street after another tech sell-off yesterday. Investors are weighing the Fed's warning about a slow economic recovery as they look for progress on fiscal stimulus talks in Washington. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-9090. 2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Virginia is the latest state to reject rapper Kanye West's attempts to make it to the November ballot for the White House. The state Supreme Court has turned down an appeal from West, upholding a lower court ruling that rejected his ballot application because he failed to meet a requirement that at least 13 people pledge their support for his campaign. The matter went to court after the state elections officials said numerous people who had signed papers supporting West's bid later said they were misled about what they were signing. Federal investigators still have not determined what caused a deadly boat fire off the coast of Southern California a year ago. The NTSB releasing documents yesterday from the tragic incident that left 34 people dead. It states nothing was recovered that could be pointed out as an ignition source of that September fire. Only five people, all crew members, managed to escape, and the 75-foot diving boat went down near Santa Cruz Island. The agency will be holding a public hearing next month to announce further findings and recommendations. and the author of a novel that went on to become a blockbuster hit for Tom Hanks in 1994 has died. Winston Groom was 77. Besides writing fiction, he also wrote nonfiction on diverse subjects from the Civil War to World War I, as well as Alabama's Crimson Tide football. And for USA Radio News.
Attention, this is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
Fresh and independent. This is Bill Martinez.
Minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. And got a real treat for you. We've got the former Illinois governor, George Ryan, joining us. We're going to be talking about his new political memoir with Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Maurice Posley. And this is about his banning of the death penalty in Illinois. Governor, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us, sir.
Well, Bill, thanks for including me to be a part of your show. I appreciate it.
Well, before we talk about the memoir, I want to get your read on what is happening during this current campaign cycle. This is turning out to be quite a race, but a clear delineation between the two parties, as the Democrats have moved hard left, and really as Donald Trump has called them out for being, I mean, they have really become Democratic socialists even more so than ever.
No question about it. And I think it'll have an impact on election day.
Well, the thing that's amazing, Governor, is that, between the mainstream media, I mean, they seem to be carrying the water, you know, for the Democrats. They've done this for a long time anyway, but even more so, doubling down and, influencing polling and the perception of the body politic that socialism wouldn't be such a bad idea.
Yeah, no question about that. They're doing a disservice, as a matter of fact. They don't really report the things that they should report. They just ignored, like, the treaty situation yesterday. They didn't report anything on it. That's just not right.
Yeah, and speaking of the treaty, I'll tell you, I think people all over the world have to just, be elated. I mean, for all the talk about peace, something is actually being done about peace, though the focus right now is in the Middle East. But I believe the ramifications of the spirit of peace will carry, even further than just the Middle East. What do you think?
I think that's right. I mean, it's going to send, a good signal all around the world. Mm-hmm. After all the years that they've had their problems, we got to hope and pray that this is going to work out and be okay. And I think it will be myself.
Well, it took an outsider like Donald Trump to come in and challenge. I mean, he's challenged the establishment on both sides of the aisle. That has been consistent. And certainly, the deep state, I think it was quite interesting, Governor. I spoke with, a couple of inside the Beltway guys like John Dean and others that say the deep state doesn't exist. But, I even told John Dean, I said, well, that's interesting you say say it does not exist, that it's some sort of myth, kind of like what Jerry Nadler had to say about Antifa. He said Antifa is just a beltway myth. It's not a reality. But I'll tell you what, those myths keep burning down buildings and destroying businesses.
No question about it. And as I said, I think it'll be reflected in November, the polls.
Well, it's really in the people's hands, isn't it?
It is. This is probably one of the most important elections we'll have, certainly in my lifetime.
Well, I think many of us are echoing the same sentiment, Governor, that really our freedoms are on the line here. And I believe that, in terms of making America greater, that there's a lot to that, to that banner heading. It really is what Donald Trump has done from day one. He's empowered the people under the previous Obama-Biden administration. It seemed like the people were forced to be relying more on government. We had more people on food stamps. The economy was languishing. I mean, to the point that the former president said, probably the best you could hope for when it came to GDP was maybe 1.8, 2% if you were lucky. That Donald Trump must have some sort of wand in his hand, because his talk of a 3 or 4 or higher GDP was mystic.
No question about it. I ask the anti Trumpers sometimes if we get into a discussion, try and maintain our sanity. What do they want from a president? Mm-hmm. What do you want your president to do that he's not doing? That's the president that we got. Mm-hmm. And I get the cliches. Oh, he's not presidential. Well, I don't care if he's not presidential, whatever that means.
But you said that. What does that mean? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, if not presidential, I don't care what it is. When he campaigned, he said, this is what I'm going to do, and he got it done. Mm-hmm. Now, I call that I think that's pretty presidential.
And he doesn't get any credit from it. The narrative from the media, which has become the fake news media, and he's called them out for that. And when he calls them out that they're fake news, it's a challenge for them to step up their game. But they continue to offer reports like what they did recently in the Atlantic, as you're aware, with anonymous reporting. I it is amazing to me, Governor, and you and I both grew up at a time when there were distinct levels of professionalism when it came to the media, that you had to get sources on the record, that there had to be more than one source to validate a report. Nowadays, in this information age that we find ourselves in, all those tried and true principles that have led the way and kept us in the light are now taking us into darkness, all in the name of anonymity.
Exactly. You're right. Whistleblowers. The thing that when he does his tweets, everybody said, well, I wish he wouldn't tweet so much. Well, it's the only way he's got really to get his story accurately, out to the public. Mm-hmm. With the few good news people that are hanging around, they cover some of it, but the major outlets don't do the job. Mm-hmm. So he has really no choice but to get it out the best way he can, and he tweets. So mm-hmm. I can't be critical of that.
Well, as governor of Illinois, the media came after you, and they wanted to put out a narrative, about your administration. How did you deal with it?
Well, it's, you deal with it, I guess, the best you can, and day by day. And I really got on to the death penalty situation, mm-hmm. really just kind of fell into it and made it a cause after I found out how bad it really was. But
exactly.
All my life, frankly, I supported the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Thought it was a deterrent and it was good, and we needed to have it to maintain some law and order. And I was wrong in all those cases. It was mm-hmm. never a deterrent, and it's not a fair, just system. It's corrupt, and if you're gonna have a system that's gonna take somebody's life, you better have it perfect.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I don't know of a perfect system that the government can produce anything that's perfect, frankly.
Right. Well, especially, as you say, when it comes down to a matter of life and death, and hence the title of the book, Until I Could Be Sure, How I Stopped the Death Penalty in Illinois. And as you say, it was a transformation for you, believing in the death penalty, and now making a transformation, a transition in your life. And I want to talk more about that in the next segment. Stay with us. We've got more from Governor George, and right after this.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30 count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free. 2020safe.net.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more.
800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. That's 800-610-3630. Paid for by GoHealth.
Bill Martinez, we have a country to save.
This is your time, your call.
Fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. We're talking with the former governor of Illinois, George Ryan, Sr., and his book, Until I Could Be Sure, How I Stopped the Death Penalty in Illinois. Governor, you said that at one time you believed in the death penalty until you didn't. Tell us what happened.
Well, it was we had a case in Chicago where it was an African American fellow that got convicted of murdering two people in a park in Chicago on a bad drug deal, and he got sentenced to death row and spent 15 years there. And about 6 months or maybe less than that, after I got elected governor, I was at the mansion with my wife watching the Chicago TV show, Tab the News, and they say this little fellow, the Anthony Porter, comes out of prison with a grin. He's a smiley guy, glad he was, you know, happy to be out of prison. And he got freed because some journalism students went out and got the evidence that he was innocent. And it wasn't the system that provided his life-saving thing, because he wasn't far away from being executed.
Wow.
Matter of fact, his family had bought his death suit, the one they wanted to be buried in. And, of course, he didn't. The reason they had been able to do that was they got a stay of execution just a few days before the execution to get him tested for his competency, his mental competency. And that's what saved his life, the fact that the journalism students got the penalty held up by the court. And I looked at that thing and I said to my wife, how does that happen in America? They put this poor guy that's not mentally full, you know, he's a little deficient, and put him on death row. He really doesn't understand it all. And leave him there for 15 years, and then they say, well, you know, you are innocent. We're going to let you go. Then fight with him about paying him to take care of it. They gave him very little money to state after keeping him in prison for 15 years. And in a country like ours, where everything is supposed to be on the up and up, that system is sure not on the up and up. It's got a lot of places where there are errors, and we tried to correct it, or I did, with the commission that I appointed, and it was an election year, and if you're running for office, I suppose like any place, but certainly in Illinois, you got to be tough on crime.
Right.
And so they find this little guy that happened to be in the area at the time of this murder occurred, and they sent him to jail, convicted him.
Wow.
So they couldn't get anything passed after putting a commission to work of a very prominent pro and anti death penalty people, and came up with, I think, 85 recommendations to improve the system. Prosecutorial misconduct, jailhouse snitches, all white juries convicting black perpetrators, and on the face of the system, it just didn't work right, and it still doesn't in most states. So I decided to just call a moratorium and fix it. I always likened it to if you got an airplane that flies from Boston to San Jose and crashes 3 days a week, you don't keep flying the airplane.
Right.
You probably better put it on the ground and figure out why you're crashing it. So I decided I better put the death penalty system on the ground, and that's why I called the moratorium. And then the pressure came to go ahead and sign the executions that were in the pipeline, and I refused to do that, and that's when I commuted the sentences of 167 people. And did I commute the sentences of some guilty people? I sure did. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind I did, but I wasn't going to make the decision about that, and I wasn't going to leave office with that hanging over my head, that I had the opportunity to try and correct the system and walked out the door and didn't do it.
Was this your way to, you know, call the system into account when you released all those, you know, from death row? to say, look at, you know, you have got to look into this. I mean, what you're referring to and what you address in the book is, you know, I mean, you talk about a systemic issue. You know, this had run rampant throughout Illinois and also, dare I say, other states in the union, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like I say, they don't have a perfect system. Not at all. Nobody's got a perfect system. And especially a government agency hasn't got a perfect system. All except for the FBI. I think they're about 98% effective with their convictions. But they got a lot of tools to work with that they shouldn't have, probably.
When you say, Governor, when you refer to it as a perfect system, what is your idea of a perfect system?
Well, one that isn't going to kill an innocent person.
Mm-hmm.
You clean it up as best you can, and that's what I tried to do, was to get away. You know, I mean, we had a rogue police captain that was torturing people that they wanted to get a confession out of. We had a lot of that. It cost the city of Chicago millions and millions of dollars after they were uncovered.
Mm-hmm.
The punishment that he used on people to get them to confess falsely. So you can make that, I mean, try to make that as best as you can, but you're never going to get it perfect.
Right.
So you better not have a system to kill somebody if it can't be perfect.
And the other part also comes into play, just like it did in your example, where you pardoned those on death row. I mean, we had a recent situation that was tough on the family of one Lacey Peterson, as you'll recall. You got Lacey Peterson's family taking a blow after Scott Peterson's death sentence is overturned in California.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I met with the families of both sides,
mm-hmm.
The prisoners' side and the family's side, and I understood the pain and the agony that the victims' families went through, and had to. I mean, I got five daughters, and I've had people come up to me and that said, well, you know. What would you do if somebody got your daughter and did this to him or that to him and killed him? What would you do? I said, I don't know, and I hope I never come to that position to find out. But I'm telling you that I don't think they get the relief from seeing somebody else die. And in several cases, almost under my watch, they kill a couple innocent guys
who
are on death row and ready to go.
Any idea as to how many innocents have paid the price?
No, they all say they're never. The pro-death people will tell you that it's never happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't believe that. And I don't know if there's any real hard cases where if anybody's really proved it, because they probably haven't tried too hard. But there's a lot of cases that were pretty close, and I think the Anthony Porter case is a good example.
Right.
The system didn't find him innocent.
Mm-hmm.
It was left up to the system. That new suit his family bought for him, he'd have been buried by now and in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just one of those things. I mean, you can't make it so you're positive. That's the thing.
Exactly. I got to imagine the immense pressure that is upon a governor to make that decision, that life and death decision. That has got to take you to the very core of your soul. He is the former governor of Illinois, George Ryan Sr. His book, Until I Could Be Sure, How I Stopped the Death Penalty in Illinois, and the memoir that you have written with Maurice Posley that is available at all the usual places, Governor, right?
Yes. Well, Amazon right now, I think.
Right, exactly. And we'll link it on our website as well at BillMartinezLive.com. Governor, thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
Bill, thanks for including me. I appreciate it.
Here's Don Schenk with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ on the radio in 27 languages.
The gospel footprint in Thailand is expanding as Christians spread the Tide Ministry's short daily devotional, Walking with God, via social media. Analytics reveal that Walking with God is being received by 126 people in five provinces in the Asan region, as well as in Bangkok and even in neighboring countries. Some recipients of the devotional are pastors who are forwarding Walking with God to their networks, expanding its circulation to more than 200 people. God is using these people to deliver the gospel to His lost sheep of Thailand. The Tide Mission is fulfilled one person at a time as individuals embrace Jesus as their Lord and Savior, regardless of where they live or what language they speak.
To read more stories of lives touched by Jesus through the Tide Ministry in Thailand, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news is the Trump administration's announced it will block new downloads and updates of the popular video sharing app TikTok effective this Sunday, saying the Chinese-owned app creates unacceptable risks to national security. Secretary of Commerce Wilbur Ross saying things could change for U.S. users of TikTok if its ownership was to change under a deadline.
But the basic TikTok will stay intact until November 12th. If there's not a deal by November 12th under the provisions of the old order, then TikTok also would be, for all practical purposes, shut down.
The U.S. will also ban Chinese-owned messaging and payment app WeChat effective Sunday. Ross says the moves will combat malicious collection of American citizens' personal data by China. This is USA Radio News.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you want? Bill Martinez live. Turn it up.
We're back with you, America. Bill Martinez here. Great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. And we're going to talk about the 24 Hours of Le Mans, the great endurance motorsport event on the planet and one of the most prestigious automotive races in the world. And here to tell us all about it is Ed Lowe, Motor Trend's head of editorial. Ed, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, Bill. Glad to be here.
So this Saturday, big day, September the 19th, Motor Trend bringing race fans live coverage of the 88th annual 24 Hour of Le Mans, huh?
Yeah, we're super excited. It is, as they say, you know, long-awaited, highly anticipated. It was postponed, as many sporting events were, and you know, have been this year. Like many, there was some concern that maybe it might be canceled outright, but we're glad to see that the World Endurance Championship, the Racing League, actually found a way to put it on, and it's going to come live and direct this Saturday morning, bright and early.
Yeah, 8:15 Eastern Time. For those on the West, get up early. But, hey, look, at early breakfast, nothing wrong with that, because this is exclusively in the United States where fans can watch their favorite race drivers, including the top American driver, Gustavo Meneses, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's all on the Motor Trend app, so you can download that in the App Store on Apple or Android. Also, if you have if you subscribe to Motor Trend's cable TV channel, Motor Trend TV, you might have that, so check that out. But yes, indeed, should be super exciting racing for those people who are not familiar with the 24 Hours of Le Mans. It is a 24-hour race that takes place in France. It mm-hmm. goes all day, all night. It's four classes in one, racing side by side. So it's really quite dramatic because you have some very fast cars running in traffic against some cars that are not quite as fast. It is going to be spectacular. And yes, there's a highly regarded American in the mix, Gustavo Menendez, who is an LA guy. So we're mm-hmm. rooting for him as well.
Well, good. What makes the Le Mans 24-hour this racing event so special to racing fans?
Well, it is the history. So it's been going on for close to, 100 years. It took a couple of years off, I think, for various wars. But, it's iconic. It's prestigious. It is also grueling. It is any endurance racing. You know, there's 6-hour races. There's 12-hour races. You know, 24 is really about the limit. And it's a test of man and machine, most of all. So it's, you know, teams are three drivers because nobody can be expected to race the entire 24 hours by themselves.
Right.
And then they have these race cars that are, you know, very fast. Speeds are over 200 miles an hour at Le Mans. And the course is about 8.5 miles long. And it's not a traditional race course. It's not like a track that we might find a super speedway or an oval mm-hmm. in America. It's actually like a country road that's converted for this race. So it's quite thrilling. There's some weather. You know, it always rains in Le Mans, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to deal with the change of day. You go from day to night and then night to day again, and there's the sun's in a different position, and it's a lot going on.
Well, like you say, it takes quite the toll on these three drivers that experience the 24 hours, but it's a toll on the machinery as well, right?
Yeah, and that's really why the manufacturers like to participate. In the history of the race, it's really about showing the credibility and the, you know, the endurance and the reliability of the car manufacturers. So you have, you know, obviously names you'd expect. You have Aston Martin, you have Ferrari, you have Porsche. These are all famous names of racing that compete. But, you know, the big boys, Toyota is one of the odds-on favorite at the top class this year, and they're racing a hybrid. They want to show their prowess in that space. But, Audi has been a long-time competitor, Peugeot, Renault, a lot of global car manufacturers use this race in particular to showcase their prowess mm-hmm. in vehicle manufacturing.
And how many teams will participate?
Oh, that's a great question. Total teams? Oh, man, I'm not quite sure. There's four, but there are four classes.
Mm-hmm.
And in the top class, I believe there are three teams. There's Rebellion, Toyota, and then a team, I butchered their name, I think, Bicolas.
Mm-hmm.
I know there in the other classes, particularly LMP, the Le Mans Pro Series and the Le Mans Am Series, which are the cars that you and I would more closely recognize.
Mm-hmm.
There are three manufacturers. It's Ferrari, Aston Martin, and Porsche. Those guys are duking it out this year. But it should be a great race.
Now, they're on the course. These three divisions are all on the course at the same time.
Yes, and that's what's really tremendous about it. The thing is at the top step, the Le Mans Prototype 1, the P1 cars, which are the fastest of all of the field, they are a good, 10, maybe 15 seconds faster than the next class below them. And then that class is faster than, the class below them and the class below them. So there's quite a speed differential.
Yeah.
As the cars go around the track, and the front runners can get caught up in traffic, and then you can combine the elements of weather or at night. You know, you imagine getting stuck behind slow traffic at night on the freeway. Now imagine you're racing at 200 miles an hour trying to pass. So mm-hmm. it's quite thrilling.
Now, will each of these teams alternate differently so that it's not 1 hour on, a couple hours off, between the three drivers? How will they break that up? Or is every team's different and strategic?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, all team strategies are vary, but I know there's some rules involved. You can't run a driver, I believe it's longer than two consecutive two-hour stints. So a stint is like, the period of time in the car.
Right.
Basically 4 hours, you think the guy's going to be pretty spent. The teams have strategies. You know, they might put their fastest guy. They have a guy who's great at the start of the race. They'll put him in early. They might have a night specialist, or when the rain comes, they might pull the car in at the next service or the next fill-up for fuel and throw in the rain specialist. And then they typically have a guy ready to go for the finish of the race when, the teams really start pouring it on. Sometimes if a team knows that you know, they're not going to win, but they want to do something ceremonial. They'll put their veteran driver or the guy who's going to retire or something like that to close out the race. But there's always strategy involved for sure.
Yeah, without a doubt. And as you say, and they got to navigate around these slower units. You know, it doesn't sound like a whole lot, you know, 10, 15 seconds difference. But when you look at speed, I mean, what are you talking the speeds of the pack, the pack leaders? What are they going to get up to?
They're definitely over 200 miles an hour. And the differential is what the closing speed, particularly in corners, because when you talk about a high level racing, it's all about, it's not the straightaways. Everybody goes fast in the straightaways. It's really what you do when the road turns. So you come into a corner and the top step cars can brake a lot harder and a lot later than some of the slower cars. So that creates some real challenges when you're trying to make some moves in position. Le Mans is fascinating because they've actually had to slow the vehicles down. In its heyday, those guys were well over, you know, they're upwards of 250 miles an hour along the straight. So they had to put in some chicanes. They had to put in some road features, some curves to slow them down. What's fascinating now is that as we march towards the future and hybrids and electrics, you know, a lot of the racing strategy depends on how much fuel you take on and how much fuel you use, because every time you stop for fuel, you're adding time to your race. You want to stop as few times as possible. So you want to make your fuel economy as good as you can, which is a really odd thing to think about when you think about racing, like excitement. But now you're talking about MPGs, really, and yeah, it's become a part of this world as well.
Wow, that's amazing. What an endurance experience for man and machine, and it all comes together at this 2020 Le Mans 24-hour race that will be broadcast live. Again, Ed, as we wrap things up, remind people how they can see this incredible event that will take place this Saturday.
Well, it's exclusively and only available on the Motor Trend app or on the Motor Trend channel if you're a cable subscriber. You can download the Motor Trend app in the App Store for Apple or Android. You know, you can watch it on your iPhone, your iPad. You can watch it in a web browser on your TV if you're a subscriber. It's, you know, it's available on Amazon Fire, Roku, Xbox. You name it, our app will play on it. It's the only place for it. And what's fantastic about it is you not only get our live stream broadcast with the commentators, the color commentators, you also get this split screen display where you can watch up to six of the cars, a live feed from the cars while they're running. So it's fantastic.
Wow, it is absolutely fantastic, and I'm looking forward to it myself. Ed Lowe, Motor Trends, head of editorial. Ed, great stuff here. Looking forward to it this Saturday. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
If you're a small business owner and you need to transform your business into the new virtual economy, hire the experts at GetCallers. For as little as $5 per hour, you can add as many virtual staff members you want to your company. They can make cold calls to generate leads, handle inbound calls, set appointments, customer support, live chat, and more. The best part is you have no expenses of computers or telecom minutes. No employee headaches. No contracts. No W-2s. Just a turnkey process for you at a fixed price that you can add as many virtual members to your team as you want. In today's economy, hire the professionals that know the virtual workspace. Call right now and learn how to add a virtual member to your team for just $5 an hour. Call GetCallers now.
800-750-3564. 800-750-3564. 800-750-3564. That's 800-750-3564.
This is a potter's field. When people can't pay for their funerals, they are buried here. It is a lonely, desolate place, littered with unmarked headstones. No one visits. No one leaves flowers. But it doesn't have to be that way. For as low as $1 a day, you can ensure your family will have the money to pay your funeral expenses. We offer burial insurance plans that pay up to $30,000. Considering the average funeral costs more than $10,000, that's peace of mind for your family. There are no medical exams, your rates won't increase, and your policy cannot be canceled as long as you make your premium payments. Call now to get approved in minutes and ensure your final resting place is more than just a pauper's grave in a potter's field.
800-519-3488. 800-519-3488. 800-519-3488. That's 800-519-3488. Paid for by Final Expense Direct.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Bill Martinez live.
We're back with you, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here, and we've got Adrian Woolridge joining us. Washington, he's actually a political correspondent for The Economist, and his new book, The Wake-Up Call, Why the Pandemic, COVID-19, Has Exposed the Weakness of the West and How to Fix It. Adrian, boy, I love the book. I love that you addressed the issue and you gave us, some practical ways to address this pandemic that we're dealing with.
Well, thank you.
So, you and John Micklethwaite, am I saying John's name correctly?
It's Micklethwaite. We both got very difficult names. It's like a sort of a Simon and Garfunkel sort of level of ridiculous names.
Well, you and John have, put this together. What motivated you two to come together to write this book, The Wake-Up Call?
Well, I think we were sitting there in the middle of the pandemic, and suddenly we said, well, this pandemic is not just a really serious matter. It's telling us something very serious about the state of the world. And we need to understand what it's telling us and get the message out there. And what it is telling us is that government really matters. That government can mean the difference between life and death, that governments in the West is not doing as well as governments in many Eastern countries, and that the significance of that is that the balance of power in the world may be shifting from the West, which has been dominant for many, many decades, indeed probably centuries, to the East. And it's as though the whole world was set a common examination. By the COVID test. We were all set the same examination. Some countries did very well, and some countries did not so well. And unfortunately, two of the countries which didn't do very well are the United States and Great Britain. So that's why we wrote the book.
Mm-hmm. So as you looked at it and you discerned that these two countries were lacking, did you discern the reason for it lacking was that there was such a reliance on big government that was unable to deliver?
Well, absolutely. We had a sense that people thought that governments could act. They believed the government could act, but then government, when it came to doing what it should do, which is to protect people from, big risks like pandemics, it failed to be able to do that. And the reason we think this is that if you go back 1500, let's say, the world was really dominated by it. China was the most successful country in the world. It had the biggest capital city in the world by a long way. It has the world's biggest and best and most sophisticated civil service. It's a very, very powerful economy, about a quarter of the world's economy. And the West at that time was a sort of bloody battlefield. It was irrelevant. It was tearing itself apart. Then the West goes through a series of revolutions which create better government. It creates the nation state, which brings all the warring barons under control. It creates the sort of liberal in the classical sense of the world state in the 18th and 19th centuries, whereby people have rights. Government is dedicated to efficiency, government is dedicated to providing public services. Then it creates a sort of modern democratic welfare state in the 20th century. So all the time, the Western state is developing, it's improving itself, and at the same time, the Chinese state is atrophying.
Yes.
You would set the same tests in examination questions in the old civil service exam in 1900 as you were in 1500. But then something happens, really from the 1960s onwards, and that is the West begins to atrophy. The Western public sector begins to atrophy, and the Eastern public sector, starting in Singapore, spreading to China, begins to get much, much better at providing public goods, at dealing with government problems. So what this tells us is that the balance of competence has shifted, that the West no longer has a comparative advantage. The East does have a comparative advantage in providing public goods through the government.
In looking at COVID, you cite that there were a couple of nations that addressed the COVID problem better, certainly, than the West. What were those nations and what did they do?
Well, a very interesting question. One of those nations is South Korea. Seoul has a population that's larger than the population of London or larger than the population of New York. New York has seen 20,000 people die from COVID. London has seen 6,000 people die. Seoul, Korea, has seen about 50 people die, probably a bit less than that. Mm-hmm. So that was a country that did very, very well, and it did so by employing modern technology, by using test and trace systems to isolate people who are ill and take them out of the general circulation of the population. It did it by hospitalizing people very quickly and effectively, really controlling the spread of the disease. You can walk down the street in Seoul, and there are testing booths on the street, you know, like newspaper booths in New York City, where you can actually get a test fairly quickly.
Yeah.
So people people know when you go into buildings, they take your temperature. They also wore masks from a very early time. So that was one way. So that proves that a democratic, fairly open society can deal with COVID quite quickly. Then there was China, a much more complicated story, because China obviously incubated this thing, not deliberately, I think, but China, you know, unleashed it upon the world, and it
yes.
responded very badly at first. It suppressed information about it. The local government was incompetent. But when they finally, national government got hold of it, it was very, very fast, very, you know, top-down, very heavy. It made people isolated, sealed some people into actual buildings. You know, it welded the doors closed, but it did stop the spread of the disease. So now I was talking to somebody in Beijing this morning who said basically people it's back to normal. People are going about their business. Children are going to school. Well, New York, I don't think is going to be opening its schools this week.
Nice.
So it's the public sector has not done very well. Well, you might say, what should we do about that? Some people would say, you'll get rid of the public sector. But we actually need a public sector that works for a pandemic.
Well, why didn't the United States trace and do some of these things that, I mean, to me, it seems very logical that you would do this. And to be so ill-advised by the scientists, and I believe we've got some pretty good scientists here in America, you know, and this seems to be a very logical process, and especially with South Korea, it's not like we're not talking to them. We have certainly a pretty robust diplomatic relationship with the South Koreans. Why wouldn't we follow their lead?
Oh, and a lot of troops in South Korea. I mean, a very, very vibrant relationship. I don't know. I think there's been a failure of politicians I think that the president has been inconsistent with what he's done here. There's been a failure of governors and mayors. I think de Blasio in particular has been dealt with this thing very badly. It's a failure on the part of all parties, not just mm-hmm. one party. But I think there's a more general problem here, and that's complacency. Mm-hmm. There's just a basic assumption on the part of us in the West that we know best and that we can't learn from the rest of the world. So we should have seen back in January when this disease was spreading from China to that region, we should have looked at what they were doing. We should have studied what they were doing. Close the airports, stop the mm-hmm. circulation of people, get people to wear masks so an airborne disease can't be carried so easily in the air, track, test and trace, buy up as many testing facilities as you can and distribute testing around the population. But we didn't, we just didn't look at what was going on in the Far East. And that's true of Britain, right, as it is of the United States. And it's complacency. We've been on top mm-hmm. since 1500, 1600. And so we don't think of those countries as being efficient, effective places that can produce innovative solutions. And we have to realize that that's now the case.
Yeah, Adrian, no denying that the bitter partisanship and the political environment in the United States was such that it didn't help. It didn't seem like we had a unified focus on combating this pandemic. It just seemed like we were at opposite ends, trying to fight to do something. You said close the airports. Donald Trump closes the airports in the West, and boy, he took all kinds of heat. He was attacked to be xenophobic, and I know that eventually he closed down, travel in the East. But I believe, if the truth be known, he probably wanted to close the East a lot sooner than he did, but because of the resistance and all that he faced, in closing down the West. And then now you have Dr. Fauci after the fact going, that was a pretty smart move.
Well, partisanship is written into the American Constitution that, you need parties which disagree robustly about all sorts of issues. It's a deliberately divided system of government. And in most democracies, that's a good thing to have. A vibrant disagreement, but I think you've reached a point in America now where that level of partisanship and disagreement has become counterproductive.
Exactly.
People just disagree with each other. They've got two teams which just live in different realities. And what we need, one of the things that we do in this book is to say, part of the title of the book is, why the pandemic has exposed the weakness of the West and how to fix it. And what we do is to imagine a president who's a composite of William Gladstone, a great British liberal prime minister, and Abraham Lincoln, a great American Republican prime minister, bring them together into a sort of composite picture and say, what would this person do to bring the country together?
Well, it's right there in the book, The Wake-Up Call, ladies and gentlemen. John Micklethwaite, I know that I'm going to hurt that name, and Adrian Wooldridge. Adrian, thank you so much for being with us and for talking about this book and for the solutions that you offer. But you're exactly right. The very thing that George Washington, our first president, warned us about when it came to partisanship, that sometimes we'll get so fixated on our team that we forget the main team, and that is the USA. But look at Adrian, again, I appreciate your time. I have to let you go. We look forward to hopefully we can have you back and further this discussion. It's that important.
Absolutely. Anytime you want. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you. Take care. Have a great day.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.